Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me, as always, Stephen Weasel Hurley here to my left, Chris Rankin still making the world safe for democracy, fighting against fires or learning to fight against fires or do whatever he's doing. I don't know there exactly, but it involves school and firefighting. But he may check in with us tonight. So if we get that certain special 407 area code on the switchboard, be prepared to hear from Chris Rankin. And of course, this is the Student of the Game here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. If you are unable to listen to us, here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, you can find us on Spreaker and iHeartRadio. And of course, there's always www.thenationalgridironnetwork.com. That's the website. And of course, thesotg.com as well. Should you want to check out that website as well, that's the thing that got it all started. That's where we all came from. We all know our roots. Just like I know my roots, having known Weasel for how long it is, I don't know. But only lately have we remembered that this is the proper chant. Weasel Wheeze! That's what I'm talking about. Let's try that again with your mic on. Weasel Wheeze!
Yeah, boy!
This is why we do sound check. This is why I got a show up on time. No, I'm just kidding. Now that he's back, we got his microphone on. We're underway. I think that's our first time it's happened on the show, so I'm only mildly embarrassed.
Okie doke.
It's off season. Whatever, right? Screw it. Flip the table. You know. But I'll tell you, something a lot of people are pounding the table about upcoming here, and that is, of course, free agency. Things are happening. Things are moving. It is a good time to pay attention if you are done with the Underwear Olympics, because we did talk about the Combine in full last week. Of course, we had Brandon Howard and Teron Davenport on. I don't know about you, but I had a good time doing that. I mean, I don't normally have that much fun talking Combine, but I had a lot of fun talking Combine. And hey, not for nothing, we're still going to have plenty of fun here tonight. Got Big TJ coming on once again. Rising once again, the Go Radio Network from the Phoenix of the, you know, like a phoenix from the ashes, so to speak. But also got Twan Staley of Route 4 Sports, of various and sundry outlets. But of course, in reference to the National Gridiron Network, the AFC East writer, doing a lot of good things there too. And Weasel, we're going to try not to make too much fun of him. He's actually going to cover baseball. He will be handling spring training there. Fort Myers. I know. Don't judge him.
But. It's okay. You know, as long as he's there, you know, it's different watching a baseball game in person.
Okay.
But yeah, you need the fast forward button. Ugh, so much downtime.
Wow. Okay. There you go with that, man. Yeah, but he, in the midst of checking out all that, he will be checking with us. I guess spring training is next. I don't know. It's baseball. Anyways, you know.
We're talk football, Kyle.
We are here to talk an actual sport. That's what I'm. Wait, Brissy. I know you're trying to talk smack, but I love the way you did it right there because it's so correct. This is what we do. We do football talk. Just wait. I didn't hear baseball in there. Did you hear? I didn't hear baseball in there. I don't know. The only person who might be allowed to get away with it is Drew Glukov on the College Cram immediately following us here, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. On the National Gridiron Network, we'll talk plenty of college sports, and actually be getting a little bit of a March Madness. And whether you can believe it or not, Weasel, he's going to find a way to talk up some college hockey.
Ooh,
I know. Nice. I might have to check that out there when I get an opportunity. But hey, there you go. But let's get right into it. We talked some franchising 2 weeks ago before we were talking Combine. And now we start to see some of the players become franchised. Of course, we talked a bit already about Jimmy Graham and that whole situation where Courtney's franchised. I would be shocked, I tell you, if he doesn't get an actual deal before this free agency is over. Also, Greg Hardy of the Carolina Panthers, a name that you don't hear enough, in my opinion. You mostly hear about Luke Kuechly and such. I just got a text, by the way, from Chris Rankin, Weasel. He says that he's going to try to call in around 8 o'clock. So he's going to definitely have something to say about the unionized players. That'll be very interesting to get his vote. He's really kind of, I mean, not that you don't know your college stuff. I mean, I'll admit that's my second language. But when it comes to college football, Chris Rankin definitely, I would say, of the three of us, pretty solid mind, maybe the foremost. I don't know if you want to have a Jedi duel with him about that sometime. It would make a hell of a show. But he will check in while making the world safer for democracy by fighting fires. At any rate, getting back to franchise players here real quick. Why do you franchise a kicker, Weasel? Is it really that valuable commodity to franchise a kicker?
No, there's one guy that I was thinking of that I would never franchise. His name, it's like Nick Foles. Not Nick Foles.
Nick Folk.
Nick Folk.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, that guy, he was with Dallas. He made some pretty bad misses. I guess he's doing decent, but, I mean, what does it take, really, to you know, pay a kicker? I mean, it's like you'll get, like, $4 or $5 million, I would say. And, yeah, it's the Jets, though, you know. Well, they did get rid of Tebow.
Wow. Finding any way he can to bring it to Tim Tebow, you know, this is the comedy that is my man Weasel Weeze.
He's going to be an announcer too.
He did it for the national championship game, and I didn't think he did a bad job.
Yeah.
And I find plenty of irony that you start stuffing in Tim Tebow to the show. Do we have somebody who is a proposed Gator fan calling into us right now here? And of course, he is the AFC East writer for the National Gridiron Network. You can find him a lot of different places, including Route 4 Sports as well, and heck, I've even guessed it on a show he co-hosts on with the Op Nation there, earnestly speaking, of course, with EJ. None other than the man himself, Twan Staley. Twan, what's going on, my man?
What's going on?
Hey, man.
Just got back from spring training covering the Red Sox, so, just been doing that for the past few days.
Hey, man. You know, I'll tell you, and I've said this to you before, and I will say it here on my airwaves, I normally make fun of baseball. If I said I didn't, you know, mention you covering baseball coming in, and I had to fight making fun of it because right now you have the Trump card on me because I'm in off season. I'm in denial. I have dudes running around in underwear to pass my time. You actually are watching your sport. Bravo, sir. You win for now.
Well, you gotta have more than one thing. You gotta be versatile. Cause I mean, you just watch football, you're gonna go crazy. I mean, you gotta spice it up, man. You got NCAA coming up, man. I'm a big college basketball fan. NBA's been kind of boring, other than like unless you're a Heat or Pacer fan or OKC. But you gotta spice it up, man. You can't just be football crazy all the time. Even though I love football, it's my number one sport, but at the same time, man, you just go crazy. You got to wait like six, 7 months waiting for it, man.
Well, you know, I mean, patience is a virtue, I guess. Well, and at some point, you know, I got to take my vacation and wine a little bit so I can come back, you know, fresh and revitalized. But, you know, hey, that is what it is.
At least the NFL draft is coming up.
The NFL draft is coming up, but they pushed it back to May.
We got 2 months, though. That's the thing. That's why I hate them pushing back like all the way to May. It's like
rubbing it in.
We're gonna get so much talk. It's gonna be so much by the time we get to May. I'm just gonna be wanting to be over with now.
Well, now that you
they moved it 2 more weeks.
Now that you've crushed my soul, there is one man I know of who can immediately support me because he understands me on a level much better than most. I give you my fellow big man, the guy who hits sports so hard, I know him as the Hammer, none other than Big TJ himself. Big TJ, what is cracking, my man?
Hey, family, how we doing this evening?
Oh, man, hey, it's always a good time. Always a good time to bring back the Phoenix from the Ashes, be it you or Joey Stats. What can I say, man? I feel like the student of the game is this mystical altar through which I rise that phoenix from the ashes. I'm just saying. It's a beautiful thing. About to have a seance. Well, you can't really have a two-man seance in a room. I don't know. We can have one of those remote seances. No, this is getting nerdy real fast. Let's save that. Let's talk some actual sports, gentlemen. How about that? You know, getting into it, I mean, technically, this isn't sport. This is business. But, hey, sports nowadays are a business. But apparently some amateur sports, amateur in quotes, are trying to become a business in a matter of speaking. And I want to kick it off with this because, hey, man, you know, next to playing football, I'm a business guy. I like watching certain things like that. And the NCAA, the players specifically surrounding Northwestern, are beginning an interesting movement in trying to unionize. Now, Weasel, kind of take us through your point of view, your understanding, or what general kind of thoughts you have on just kind of kick it off for us there, Weasel. Just get going with the unionization of the NCAA players.
Well, it's these college players. Some of them do get quote unquote paid if they get a scholarship.
Okay, right.
Sometimes it's more money, and I think college football players also want to have some more perks, and now what they're wanting now is possibly to get paid like an employee would, and I don't like that. It's you work hard, you get a scholarship. I mean, that's the way you get paid. And for college, I mean, people are working to get in the NFL or anything like that, but college is a time, I mean, you got to, you know, do what's good for the school. And a lot of the college programs don't even make, like, too much of a profit there. So
right.
So I disagree with it.
Okay, so he's coming right out. You got a stance there where, you know, the players, whether they should be paid, what cost them being paid, whether that's too high or not, I don't know. That's an interesting concept in itself. Let me take it over. Let's say first to you, Tuan Staley. Where do you come out on the college play? First of all, the concept of the college player being paid.
I don't think they should be paid, honestly. Not like to this. I think they get paid enough where it's like they get scholarships, they get free clothing, they get, like I said, they get some type of money as far as like stuff, and they get a free, I mean, when they don't get free, but they get like put up in apartments, they get a lot, it's a lot of perks being a college athlete, especially if you're playing football and you're playing basketball and the money makers in college. So I think it's a lot of perks to that. And if you're going to pay one athlete, you're not going to pay. And I think if you start paying athletes, it's going to open Pandora's box to an extent where the football player is going to want to pay more than the basketball players. And the basketball players is going to want to be paid more than the volleyball players and the baseball players. And, you know, it just opens up. And what's that amount they get paid? So it has to be a set amount for all schools throughout all the programs. And now all the schools can afford that as well. So, again, like I say, I just don't think in order to prevent all of that, to open that Pandora's box, I think they shouldn't get paid. I think you get enough as far as college scholarship. As far as, like, Northwestern, it costs, like, $60,000, $70,000 just to go there alone. That's one of the, like I say, one of the best schools you can go to. And for them to want to get union, I just think they should not be getting paid, like I say, to understand. You're going to school, you're getting an education, a free education at that. You should take advantage of that. And you're not there to make money. I mean, you're not there to make money. You're there to be a student first. You're there to want to, you know, profit yourself and better yourself to enable to make money, whether that in the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, or if it's just to go out in the business world and, you know, get a degree and, you know, make something out of yourself that way. So me personally, I just don't think they should get paid. But I think they get enough as it is, to be honest with you.
Okay. And Big TJ, where do you come out? What's your stance on there when it comes to this concept?
So I'm going to let y'all know exactly what it is. First, I want to first thank you guys for having me on. Antoine Staley, I'm a big fan. I follow you on Facebook, so thanks. Just being on the panel with you is awesome.
I appreciate that, TJ, man. I love you as well, man.
See, when he does that, you're about to open up a can. I'm just letting you know.
I have to disagree with Mr. Staley, though. I think that the players need to be paid, and I think that they need to be represented by a union. What we have to understand is everybody's interests are being taken care of when it comes to college athletes, except for the athletes. The schools are getting taken care of, and yes, the athlete does get a scholarship to get an education. But if you put a value on how much money a university makes on that athlete versus how much that athlete makes from the university, the scales are tipped heavily to one side. If you look, take for example, A.J. McCarron has been at Alabama for 4 years. He stayed there for 4 years. He's going to graduate in April. You put a value on his degree versus how much the university has made off the 36 wins that he has given them as a starting quarterback. It's completely different. And then you take into consideration what happened with Marcus Smart a couple of weeks ago at Oklahoma State. If he is truly an amateur, and we're teaching him, you know, treating him like an amateur, when he has that incident where he goes into the stands, then you'll use it as a teaching tool instead of suspending him for 3 games as if you're paying this young man. They treat these athletes like professional athletes until it's time for somebody to write a check, and then we want to keep them as amateurs. But the college game is a business. March Madness is a business. Coca-Cola's got their hands on it. They're willing to pay 4 people to travel to wherever the Final Four is going to be held to write blogs about their experiences. Everybody has got their hands on the amateurs that we're talking about, and no one is looking out for their best interests except for them. You know, that's the thing that gets me. A year ago, Jadeveon Clowney was considering not playing his junior season to make sure that he did not fall victim to the same troubles as Marcus Latimer did the year before when he shattered his ACL a second or third time right before he was getting ready to get drafted. And everybody creamed this young man. His coach came to his defense only because he wanted him to come back and play that junior year. And we see now that Jadeveon Clowney has admitted that he's going to the draft. Now, say, you know, Spurrier saying, you know, he doesn't always come 100% fully vested to practice. I think that somebody needs to look out for the players, and nobody better to do it than an elected board to serve as their union.
All right, can I follow up?
No.
CJ something?
Fire away.
Let me ask you this, Dan. As far as, like, you know, okay, some you talked about the schools are making money, and that's the majority of the major schools. So what do you pay? You said you think they should get paid. So what do you pay them? Like, not all schools make the same amount of money. Like, Alabama is obviously not going to make the same amount of money as, like, a
Buffalo.
Florida Atlantic or East Carolina. So what do you pay, like, if you think they should get paid?
I went to a Division III school. I was being recruited by Division I schools, but I hurt my knee my senior year in high school. I went to a Division III school, and it was a private institution. But the thing about it is, knowing that they can only field 55 players on the varsity team, they were still bringing in 150 freshman males to play football, knowing that they can only field 55. They still over-recruited because it is it's tuition-driven. So even if it's a small school, you pay them like work study. If a kid goes to a school on an academic scholarship, that child is still bringing that university money because they're filling quota, and you have that student has the opportunity to write papers, to do a thesis that university can publish and make money off of that university, that kid's GPA. They can say, our average GPA is such and such. We get jobs and such and such. You know, they can use that kid to make money as well, but that kid has the opportunity to get a work-study job. So you treat these athletes like work-study students. You pay the minimum wage, but when they're at practice and when they are at working out, treat it like a job. Give them minimum wage and pay them as such. Everybody gets the exact same amount, regardless of whether you're a girl, guy, volleyball, football, doesn't matter. Everybody gets minimum wage, and work study is done by the state. So regardless of whether you're a private institution or public, everybody gets minimum wage.
Okay. Well, and I'll throw this question out there too, because I have a particular opinion. I'm going to save it for now, because I can do that. I'm the host. But I want to kind of take the player's side in this for a minute, in that part of it is the players themselves are so limited due to the worry of recruiting violations, right? So let's say I decide, because, hey, I have 4 years of eligibility. All I did was marching band, you know, during my time at school. So let's say I opt as a graduate student to go and lay my thing down over here, say at, you know, FAU or, you know, USF, because, you know, South Florida's started to be pretty bad lately. I'm just kidding. I graduated from UCF. I have to say that. That's like engraved in stone somewhere. But you see where I'm going. I take the field, and I'm obviously not going to be a big name player for two reasons. A, I'm 34 freaking years old already, and B, I'm an O-lineman. No one gives a care, okay? I'm not going to get that kind of cash, all right? I'm not going to be in a position where I can sign my autograph to something and make money off of it. But I can't even get a job. I can't even, you know, talk to other people about trying to make myself money, because if they're even remotely linked as boosters, not only is the book thrown at me, the book is thrown at the school, and then the coach has to change jobs. See what I did there, Pete Carroll? But so what defense is there if I'm a player in one of these programs? I mean, what's my alternative there? I mean, does anyone have another way I can collect cash just to pay pay rent? Or, I mean, so if they put me in a dorm room, let's say that's taken care of. What about a car to get somewhere? Okay, well, if I live on campus, do I need that? I mean, there's other needs that I have and I need to take care of. I have to pay for the insurance myself, because if I get hurt, school ain't going to be there for me. Something, I need some way to get some minimal cash going. And I would ask Tuan Staley or Weasel if there's another option that exists for me in that situation.
Well, the insurance, I understand what you're saying, because these players need to be insured just in case something happens. As far as, like, well, food, like, you, in the dorm, like, somebody, if you, depending on this college, like, all colleges are different. These dorm rooms now are just, like, are like apartments, depending on, especially they cater towards the football players. Like, they get the best of the best anyway. Now, some decide they want to live off campus, and that's all they have to figure out, rent and all of that. But a lot of these dorm rooms, especially now recently, are kind of like apartments as well. So, again, car, like I say, you may have to figure it out. But, again, like I say, if you're – it's ways around that. Like, so, like a lot of college students don't necessarily have cars either. So you may not – like I say, depending on the location that you are, you may not need one. You may need one. So it's going to be needs that you are. But then again, like I said, at the same time, don't all college students have, like, those – go through those same issues? Yes, I know football players and basketball players and athletes in general are kind of, like, above, like I say – you know, they put on a different pedestal, but at the same time, it is the college experience. Some people have money. Some people don't have money. But you find the ways to make it work, and that's how it's been working. Like, I see what y'all are saying, but at the same time, for me, it's just like, what's going to happen is the football players and the basketball players are going to get all the money. They're going to get all the money. And then what's going to happen is, like I say, the volleyball players, the softball players, they're not going to get that much money. And they're going to say, and the football players are going to say, you know what, I should be getting more money because we bring in the revenue. They don't bring in the same revenue that we do. And then, like I say, that really opens up Pandora's box in that sense for me. So for me, like I said, to prevent all of that, I just think that they get enough. They get the food. They get the food card. They get free meals. In that sense, and I just think they shouldn't get paid. I think they get plenty as it is. They even get clothes as well. They get, like I say, all the students, like I say, they get the free gear as far as, like, being an athlete. I mean, free shorts, free shirts, hoodies, all. They get all of that stuff as well, depending on the school that you go to. So I feel like they get a lot of perks that a lot of college students don't get in general.
Okay, and that makes plenty of sense, Tuan Staley. But, like, and I think the part that's toughest is – now, the problem is these numbers are kept a little too much under wraps for my comfort, and I can appreciate those who are skeptical of it. But the numbers in 2011, the most liberal number says that 75 of 225 athletic programs in the Division I college level, that's athletic programs, it's not just football, we're talking basketball as well here, 75 of those were in the black, which is to say they made money. If you're a member of one of these schools, if you're an athlete at one of these schools that's not turning a profit, I mean, I'll ask you, Big TJ, if they can't afford to pay the players legitimately, then should they have to cut the program? What happens then?
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily making money, but they're doing enough to keep the program afloat. And if you understand, you know, the argument that I made, it wasn't to pay them based on profits. It's to pay them work study just like you do every other individual, mm-hmm. which will keep Pandora's box closed for a little while because you're paying each person an equal amount based on the time that they put in. So they're having to clock in hours just like every other student that works in the library, that works in the cafeteria. So that's keeping a lid on Pandora's box for right now, just so that we can go ahead and call it what it is. They're not amateurs. The NFL is using the NCAA football as a farm system. They dictate how long these players have to stay in school, and if a player decides they want to leave early, they have to go through the legal system to gain entry. I'm not knocking the NFL for saying you have to be, you know, 3 years removed from high school, because that's their right as an organization. But they're also using the NCAA as a farm system. Nowhere else in America or overseas do they pull players from, except for players that have played in college ball. And if you play to the Division III school as opposed to a Division I school, you're looked at differently and judged more harshly because you haven't played against the talent. The NFL has a straight-up monopoly on the system. So why should these players, specifically we're talking about football, not be represented properly, because we're talking about them getting a union. I definitely think they should be unionized, because as I said before, everybody's got their hand in the kitty, so the players need to be taken care of.
Well, and to that extent, like, I keep hearing the part, and not just, I'm not putting you on blast by any means there, Big TJ, but I keep hearing the part where everybody gets theirs except for the players. And we talked about it for a bit for the lower level players. You know, they don't have the ones, like, let's call it what it is. Most college athletes aren't going to become professional athletes. That's just the truth. Okay.
Right.
But those who are going to become professional athletes, the college doesn't ask for them to pay back into the pot when they're going to make a lot more. Like, the example I'll pick up is, I mean, I'm not going to go Jamarcus Russell on you, and because that's just a particularly useless example, and that's completely unfair, and he's hardly representative of the argument. But, like, you know, just somebody who comes out and makes his $300,000 for 3 years, which is the average life of the NFL player, right, has made more money thanks to his time at college than the college made off of him as a lower-level player. Now, you want to get into the Johnny Manziels and all that other sort of thing? I think you're absolutely right. I think the man should be paid for his likeness, which is more kind of leaning towards the O'Bannon case, which we can touch on if you guys really want. But I think it's a different concept when you get outside of the concept of what's on the field. And I don't know where you guys break out on that as well. I'll give you guys your chance to, you know, tell me how stupid I am if you guys indeed think so. But I think things like Manziel selling his likeness, or any player for that matter, Clowney could have, if he really wanted to, taken that junior year off and made money signing autographs. Do I think it's a little bit weak sauce? Yeah. Should he be legally prevented from that? Hell no. I think he it's his face. It's his, you know, it's him running so fast that he can outrun Manziel, you know. And yeah, it's his name. What? Yeah. No, he shouldn't be prevented from that. But is the system we're in off of kind of the greed from the colleges, or is it because of the is it made worse by the NCAA regulating week, or are we caught kind of a chicken and the egg thing there? Big TJ, I'll ask you first.
Can I say both? Can I push on this one? Because, I mean...
Well, yeah, that's what the chicken and the egg thing is. It's a little bit of both. No, absolutely.
Absolutely. I think the university is definitely looking out for their best interest first. But I think the NCAA, in instituting some of the sanctions that they have, saying that a player can't benefit off of his likeness, but yet they had the contract up until last year, they canceled it. They had the contract with EA Sports, where I'm playing college... I'm playing NCAA football right now as we speak. And you can't tell me that the guy wearing number 2 for Texas A&M is not supposed to be Johnny Football. So, you know, it's a sham to me for the NCAA to come in with some of the rules that they have. But, you know, I think the colleges are just as guilty with some of the, you know, I mean, because they're benefiting from, they benefit from that contract with EA Sports as well. So, I mean, I think it's a sham.
Well, and I'll add this point to it. You said that they canceled the contract with EA Sports. That's like kind of like saying the mugger who has a knife and I who has a wallet just handed the mugger the cash. No, the O'Bannon case and that threat made that happen. For better or worse, I think you're right, TJ, when it comes to the players, again, not getting anything at all. But by the same token, the loser in that equation was the guys like you and me that want to play that game.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. I love that game, actually. I love the NCAA. I actually love it better than I like the Madden, to be honest with you.
So. I will agree.
But I will say this, too. As far as, like, going back to the likeness. Football and basketball, they're the only sports, like, really that you really in baseball. But if you're an individual, like a swimmer or a skier in college, you can get endorsements and you can get paid. And the NCAA doesn't necessarily have a problem with that. It's the problem with, I guess, if you're like on a team and you're getting endorsements, and they have a problem with that as well. I think you should. I agree with TJ in that sense. I think if they want to give you like a commercial or you want to make money off for you, you should be able to do that. I don't think it should come necessarily from the school, but I think, if you, like I said, if you're able to make money and make money off yourself and selling jerseys, I mean, we're not necessarily selling jerseys because they come from the school, but give you commercials or they want to give you endorsements, I think they should be able to do that because it's them. It's their name. like I say, the NCAA, like I say, they didn't make them. I mean, you know, their parents actually made them, you know, be technical. So I think they should get, in that sense, like I say, a Nike or a Reebok or Adidas want to give them a contract, an endorsement. Yeah, hell, go with it. I mean, I don't have a problem with that so much as just the school actually giving them money. I do think they should get some kind of money for their likeness and things like that. If EA Sports wanted to pay them, yeah, they should be able to pay them as well. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Okay. And that would also, I mean, that would be one reason for the forming of a collegiate players union, is so that EA Sports has a body to pay, a way to collectively bargain with them. Because, look, you can't just pay this guy over here this much and this guy over here this much and wait, but Jadeveon Clowney got this much. I shouldn't just, you can see, you can hear the water of the floodgates gushing if they're not given an entity to pay, you know. But, I mean,
of course. EA Sports NCAA game back, man, I'm down for it, man.
And hey, at the end of the day, you do realize, Big TJ, you're arguing for a USC quarterback to get money.
Okay, see, now you just made it personal. And here's the thing. Regardless of whether it's Leinart, Palmer, Sanchez, John David Booty, it doesn't matter. While they were in school.
Mitch Mustang, too.
I've been playing NCAA since they first started making, since I was in college in 2001. I've been playing NCAA for a while. I've been having my enjoyment using their likenesses, you know, and I'm going old school PS2 whenever you can go to eBay and find somebody that's actually taking the time to properly name each individual player and put it on a memory card.
You got to send the memory card to them, and then send it back to you. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. We on that same level.
Wow, man.
I'm old school gamer, and I truly believe that those players. I didn't think about it then because I wasn't thinking about the business side of it. But now that I've taken a step back and looked at sports, done sports just like you guys have, I looked at the business and I looked at the actual athleticism of it all. The players, like I said, they just need to be represented, and I think that if they are represented by the right people, they're going to be taken care of. But as long as they are left to the devices of the universities will always look out for their best interest. They're going to talk about how they need to be, you know, in the black where they're actually making a profit because they're investing so much money in these teams. They're going to make that argument. If you come to me and ask me if I want to buy advertising, I'm going to tell you no because I don't have the money. But ultimately, I do. I just want to make sure I get a paycheck at the end of the week. That's where the universities are.
Okay. And that makes sense, which is, once again, bringing us back to the NCAA as a regulatory body, is now in that point where it is registering fail on a regular basis, to say the least. To wrap this up, gentlemen, I just want to go around to kind of wrap this up. So there are a few different concepts with unionization that go with it, okay? I myself, I'll say it out loud, I'm pro the unionization for the collection of revenue off the field, likeness, video games, that kind of stuff, and some sort of body that can be a voice to get things like better testing for concussions or some sort of program where if you hurt yourself in college, like my father did, for example, and tear your knee up to where now you're 60 and getting a knee replacement because, you know, you busted yourself up, the college should have given better medical care at the time and paid more attention to it. Yeah. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where, like, if I get hurt and I jump over to urgent care versus having an actual sports trainer look at me, that's the kind of care I should get, right? The student health center and Dr. James Andrews, two very different standards of care. So if we get those things...
Not even close.
Yeah, I'm trying to say. You saw my sarcasm. I'm proud of you, Twan Staley. No, but then when we start talking about the profit aspect being shared with the players, they're given the education, they're given the platform to promote themselves to get business opportunities off the field. Because let me tell you what, I don't care what level player you are, you better bet. If you live in Gainesville, if you're in Orlando for UCF or whatever, you get local pub just because you're associated with the orange and blue or black and gold.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that free pub and that
especially
free education
I can tell you that right now.
Isn't enough. You just didn't leverage it right. I don't know. That's where I sit. I don't know. Anyways, anybody got any last words before we wrap up on this topic?
Real quick, if I can jump in, I would like to say I too am pro-unionization, not just as far as making money, but we're talking about also the upkeep of mm-hmm. these young men. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but Grambling State.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they sat out of it. They forfeited the game because their jerseys, their living situation, as far as football is concerned, was beyond horrible.
Yep.
So, you know, if not just for the monetary portion of it, just the general upkeep of these athletes needs to be taken into consideration as well.
Completely agree.
Yeah, Ray Harris and I did a podcast about that too. So, that was just a sad situation.
Talked about that some on the OT with Andrew G, and I'll tell you what, I think that very same thing is kind of the ilk I'm in with the standard of care with health. I mean, certainly that's just jerseys and stuff are part of the upkeep. Weasel, got anything to wrap this up with? You all?
Good points all around.
It's all been said as far as Weasel concerned. We'll be back in just a moment, folks, here. We're talking, coming up to the second half of the show, taking a bit of a late break. But hey, when the talking going this good, you can wait a few minutes for your break. I'm not getting paid for it yet. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week to the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGN, football talk, just the way you like it.
And we are back here on the Student of the Game here on the National Gridiron Network. I am Kyle Nash here with the man himself, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy.
There it is. And Twan Staley, of course, AFC East writer. Twan Staley here with us for the National Gridiron Network. And, of course, my favorite big man of sports, Big TJ, bringing that tough argument just like a hammer should. That's what I'm talking about right there, gentlemen. And I want to go into the next discussion. Because, look, let's put it this way, okay? I'm 34. I did play semi-pro football. But most importantly, I'll be honest, I'm white. Yes, that's true. I don't, you know, I got the Greek tan and all that. But, you know, that's no one's going to take me seriously when I bring up the next topic. And that is, of course, the 15-yard penalty for use of the N-word on the field. Now, I'll be honest, gentlemen, I have my opinion on it. But I'm going to save it till the credible sources actually get a chance to speak to it. No, not just because the color of your skin, boys, because what you guys bring to the sports table in general. You all know your stuff, and I want to hear you all weigh in on it. Twan Staley, let me start with you, my man.
Well, for me, as far as them banning the N-word, I think it's something else the referees have to monitor. I don't understand. Like, look, I think... Put it like this. I don't like the N-word. I'm just going to put it to you like that. But for them to just say, oh, we're just going to ban that one word, I think it's ridiculous. There's so many other, you know, words you can use in the English language that degrade people. But, you know, you're going to use that one particular word. I think for that, I mean, I'm not really understanding that. And then you have to try to monitor that during the game. You just absolutely hear you're just going to throw 15 yards at it. Or maybe you think a player said it. Are you going to throw a 15-yard penalty on that? I think referees have enough pressure on it on them as it is, you know, just the official of the game. And then you're going to throw something else at them that they have to monitor. I don't like it for that sense either. But you know, it's a word in the English language. It's a word people use to define a white person. You know, you're not going to – they didn't ban that particular main word in the as far as the NFL, which I think is degrading as well. So I just think it's so many other words you can use that are just as bad. I won't say just as bad, but they're not good words to use during the use either. But yet the NFL didn't ban those either. So I don't know what the reasoning is. Like I said, I hadn't heard anything as far as Roger Goodell, anything like that, reasoning for the 15-yard penalty. But I just think, like Richard Sherman said, it does kind of sound a little bit of racist. Like I said, I'm not a fan of the N-word. Like I said, I'm not going to sit here and lie, but at the same time, I just don't think – they should sit there and just ban just throw 15-yard penalties, you know, because, like I say, God, at the heat of the moment, guys are going to say certain things, whether you agree with it or not. And, you know, it may be stupid, but at the same time, just for the referees to sit there and just listen to conversations and throw a flag on it, I just think, you know, I just don't like the rule in general.
I think watching the NFL and even college football, I don't really recall a time when the N-word was blurted out, like over, like on broadcast. Now, I was thinking for if they talk about it on the field and they have a penalty for it because the ref heard something, you'll get a 15-yard penalty, and a lot of people will ask the next question, why did you get the 15-yard penalty? And so you're actually pointing out, you're
bringing attention to something that wouldn't have been noticed previously, because there's not really, if there is a mic on it, the network's not going to let it come out. So basically, it's a situation where attention's going to be drawn to it where it wouldn't been previously. Is that what you're getting at, Weaver?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. That's an interesting point. Big TJ, weigh in, sir.
I like Staley have to question the NFL's motive and why they would enact this rule. If they're trying to change a societal issue with the use of that word, I don't think that they are the body that is, I don't think they're correct. They're the correct body of people to try and change it. If they're trying to stop, you know, rappers from using it in their lyrics and stop, you know, 13 and 14-year-old boys from calling each other that, then, yeah, they're not the right people to do it. I think what they're doing now is jumping on board with the flavor of the month. We've had more issues with that word publicly in the NFL this year than many times before. Every once in a while, you hear a black player say that a white player said it to him, and that's why he, you know, punched him in the face on the field or something like that, and it died down. Where we are in social media now, with what happened with Riley Cooper, with what happened with the situation down in Miami with Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, it's been brought to the forefront now more because media is where it is, and the NFL doing what they did with the concussion situation and how defenses hit on the field this year with how running backs can lower their heads against defensive players. The NFL was trying to, you know, play God, for lack of better words, in the situation and say what they will and won't allow. And look, here's the thing. The NFL is a business, as I said in the previous segment. They can say what they will and won't allow, just like I can't go into work tomorrow with Crocsless underwear on and no drawers. I can't do it.
You can.
H-A-W-T, hot.
No, they don't want it. So, you know, with my job having the right to tell me what I can and cannot wear, what I can and cannot say, the NFL has the exact same right. I just don't think they're going about it the right way. You pass down the legislation through the owners. It goes to the coaches and goes to the teams that way to say, look, we don't want to hear this word. That's one thing. But to put a penalty on it on the field, when 9 times out of 10, the referee, unless he's standing right beside you and the play is dead, you won't be able to understand who said it. Imagine in Seattle with the 12th man. You know, Kaepernick was saying the first time they played last season that he could barely hear the calls. How is the referee going to be able to decipher which player in Seattle said that word and then properly give the penalty? He's not going to be able to. They're already saying, referees, you need to be looking out for concussion-like symptoms. If a guy is wobbly or if he's talking funny. So now you have to add on to that. Now you're supposed to be listening out for the N-word. They're going to be listening out for that, and they're probably going to miss something else. We talk about this all the time, doing trash jobs. So, no, I definitely think that this is above and beyond for them. They need to reevaluate.
Well, hey, look.
Here's my thing, too.
Go get it,
Twan. Real quick as well. Like, let's say you hear like somebody like a Riley Cooper or somebody like that say the N-word off the field. Is it going to be some kind of fine or suspension because of that? I mean, you're penalizing them on the field. So, but you know what Riley Cooper said was very harsh, and you actually heard it. But the NFL didn't levy a penalty or, you know, against him. The Eagles had a fine against them. But again, like I said, are you going to have a penalty? Are you going to fine them? Are you going to suspend them because of that? Because I think that's what he did was not good either. Should have been maybe a suspension. Or, you know, you could argue he could have been suspended for that. But the NFL, you know, They hadn't said anything about that either. So I think if you're gonna do it one way, you got to do it like if you're gonna try to ban the whole N word or try to get people to stop using it, you got to do it like all around, not just on the field but off the field as well. It should be penalties as well. But NFL just seems like they just want to do it on the field. So I don't know if it's because of kids watching or you know, the, like I said, they want to have a certain you know standard for the NFL. Like I don't know. I don't know what their motives is. So I'm curious to understand where they're coming from with this.
Yeah, no, well, here's the thing, and I mean, Chris, I see you there. Hold on the line. I'll be right with you in a second. But here's a couple things that I feel like we need to consider here instantly. Okay, first off, I think TJ very eloquently mentioned it's a business. If the NFL wants to protect the shield, which we all know, hey, look, we've heard the statement issued by Roger Goodell, and you know, look, Big TJ and I on Facebook many times have fought that lightsaber duel of pro and con Roger Goodell. If he doesn't do something, if the league doesn't do anything, and they just kind of let the whole, what's his word, incognito thing in Miami play out and not react at all, people are going to be calling for the head of the NFL, hey, why didn't you do anything? What did you do to actually stop anything? You were asleep at the wheel. You're awful. They do something. Wait, what are you doing? How can you do this? This is ridiculous. What are you talking about? I mean, the NFL isn't in a winnable situation here, so I think they're going to do the thing that causes less damage. And I think what the NFL is smart to do here is to instruct his officials a way differently than we've seen from them in the past, which is don't be so ridiculous in trying to spot the slightest little thing. If it is as blatant as Richard Sherman giving that choke signal, for example, then you throw it. It's that simple. Now, granted, we won't be able to actually hear it, but that's a standard I think that could be very well adhered to. If the play is well over, as was pointed out, I forget which panelist it was, if the play is well over and he says, you can't cover me, beep, it's coming out, as it should be. You know, I can see that.
I'm sorry.
No.
I just imagine that happening.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, I got to be honest, when I pictured that in my head at first, like, you know, some big man tackling Kaepernick is like, yeah, I got you. Oh, hell, you know, I mean, but I'll put it this way. You mentioned Big TJ that this isn't the societal place to address this, but you can't hit it in music because that's protected speech. You can't hit it off the field because that's protected speech, unless in the case of the incognito where somebody's obviously harassed, and that's a whole legal thing,
but
as we just saw.
The team would have to do it in that case. Yeah, the team would have to police it then in that case. They could find them, but NFL is not going to do anything as far as, like, finding them off the field.
Right, exactly. I think trying to keep their house clean is the best they can hope to do about any of it. I think they're doing the one thing that can let the public know, hey, what happened with Richie Incognito isn't proper. And that's not what we do. That's not what we program here.
So in other words, you're saying it's kind of like a public relations type thing, which
oh, hell yes.
Makes sense.
Without question. Definitely a PR move. I don't know. But, again, you guys
I don't think that the NFL should be left to answer for what Richie Incognito did. The NFL shouldn't have to answer for that. I mean,
I agree.
I mean, I think if anybody should, the Dolphins should.
Yeah.
But, you know, The NFL shouldn't, and I've heard, you know, on the talking heads on the radio saying that, you know, it shouldn't be an NFL thing, it should be left to the leadership of each team. But then if we look at the leadership of the Dolphins, two people on the leadership council were responsible for it. So how do you even leave it to the leadership? I think ultimately what they're trying to do, they're trying to address a societal issue and the use of the word and look, I can go on, and I would love to get, you know, Mr. Staley's input on my theory with the word at a later time. But, you know, it's not the NFL's place. It really is not the NFL's place
to
try and change the use of the word and the negative history of that word. It's not their place to do it, and they're overstepping their bounds. And this is, look, the NCAA was made to look stupid for levying such a harsh penalty on Penn State. And I think the NFL is walking that line right now, trying to input this rule.
I agree. I just think, like I said, it's not their fight to win, like as you alluded to a bit, TJ. And I like I said, going back to the Dolphins thing, like what? Yeah, they had no leadership in that locker room. The leader, they got rid of the leaders. They got rid of. They had Reggie Bush. They had Jake Long. They had Carlos Dansby on their team. They let those guys go.
As a Dolphins fan, you were happy to see Jeff Ireland go. Let's be real. As a Dolphins fan, you were happy to see Jeff Ireland go. Don't lie.
Because he was inadequate as a GM, but at the same time, honestly, like they're doing things. If we talk, like to get off topic a little bit, I mean they're doing things like half backwards because they fired the GM and then they bring in they're interviewing guys and they're saying, oh well, you know, you can't fire Joe Philbin because he's untouchable when really he's been an average coach since he's been there. So if you want a good GM. If he wants to replace the coach, especially one that, like I say, you're 8-6 and had a chance to get into the playoffs, then yeah, you go ahead and replace that. You can go ahead and be the GM. But as far as like going, I could talk about that all the time. But going back to the N-word in general, I agree. It's just not the NFL's place. This is not their fight. Again, they're doing it like you said, PR move, public relations move. But at the same time, you're just asking the referees to police something else on the field when half of the damn time they barely can, like I say, they mess up calls as far as like roughing the passer every week, honestly, to be completely honest. When the guy barely touched them and they're throwing a 15-yard flag on that, and that's ridiculous. So I see that every week. So, again, you're just asking for trouble, especially if it's, like I say, it comes down to like an instance like you throw a flag on that like during the end of the game, and that may cost somebody – you know, a chance to go to the Super Bowl or the playoffs or something like that. And then the referee or somebody like that's going to have to question, they're going to have to answer that all year long. Was that the right call? So, again, it's just, I just don't think the NFL, is putting the referees in a really, really tough spot trying to get them policed there.
Weasel, quickly.
One thing I'll say with the N-word on the field is that you have these refs, the crowd's going crazy, a lot of noise, and you have 11 football players in the field. If you get the wrong person...
that's why it has to be blatant. Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
It's like that could cause a lot of problems for the ref and the NFL. So
yeah, no, I that's exactly what Twan Staley was saying, most definitely. I'll say this one thing to close the topic, because I'm the host and I can do that. Let's put it this way: we have two different extremes at work here. The NCAA regulatory body is not doing enough, and it sounds like what we're hearing is that the NFL is trying to do too much. Personally, I'd rather err on the side of too much because that's keeping my football league afloat where the NCAA is about to get blown up by ESPN. I'm just saying. But see how I transitioned it back to college football. I'm going to bring in a man who's been fighting fires and actually may have actually done a whole lot of schoolwork as well in his preparation to make the world safer for democracy or something like that. I don't know. Bring in one of my co-hosts, the one, only the esteemed, the honored Chris Rankin. What is going on this evening, my man?
Man, not a whole lot, man. I've got a couple weeks off now for school. I just took my final test before spring break. So
sweet. I hope you've had at least
a little stress relief right now. So going well.
I hope you've had at least one beer since the final.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough, man.
Just one?
Working on a second one right now.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, he's got two kids. He's got to, you know, he's got to watch himself a little bit until later tonight, man. You know, give him his credit where it's due. By the way, I have a coffee mug at work. I'm just saying. At any rate, Chris, I want to take it back really quick to the college player unionization. Where do you come out on that? I promised I would give you this platform. Have at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's been talking about this a little bit for a while about how NCAA is trying to control everything. And, you know, the SEC really is the one that's, I think, driving this with it going forward because, you know, they're the ones that make the money there. Big Ten, you know, quite makes much money, but they're not as much as the SEC. I see the NCAA is going to be as part of the past year coming in the next few years. I missed the first part of the show. You guys were mentioning this earlier. So I don't know what you guys are taking on this.
Well, the way we really kind of broke that down is one thing we were all looking at is the life of a player at the school. Like they don't get the support necessarily that they should health wise, right? I mean, they got to go to a, you know, a Centricare or something like that if they're hurt or something like that. They don't get the medical attention perhaps that they would deserve in such a situation. But there was also talk about them being paid as players or them taking what they have off the field and selling it as well. That was, you know, kind of two directions we took it. Actually, the sides were split. That's why I can't tell you which way the panel necessarily went. But, you know, just kind of want to know where you fell out on that.
You know, they are getting paid already. I mean, their college education, some of these players wouldn't go to college if it wasn't for sports. I mean, you can look at football, basketball, those are two money-making programs for every college. Some of these people wouldn't be going to college if it wasn't for that. So they are getting paid because of how much a college tuition is. I mean, we're here in state, so it wasn't that much, but still, when we left college, it's still about $20,000 for going in campus. That's not even going to a private school.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a private school like Miami, you're looking at like $80,000 for an undergraduate degree. So technically, they're already getting paid. So, I mean, if they want to be paid for, they want to be paid for anything, then, you know, have them pay for their own schooling, and then they can get paid for college. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They have the experience to leverage. But, I mean, by the same token, and I think TJ expressed it very well, that, you know, they're also an instrument of the school to make money with minimal labor costs. So, it's an interesting...
Can I offer up a third option?
Go, throw it out there.
Well, I mean, he made the argument to say, okay, if the kids want to get paid, then let them pay for their own schooling. I absolutely feel you on that one. How about the NFL not use colleges for farm system anymore? Let the guys after high school go play semi-pro ball for 3 years where they can actually get paid for their likeness. That'll make the semi-pro absolutely ridiculous for us to televise and watch that. And then the NCAA is no longer involved, because if you take out the NCAA, I think we don't have as many issues as we're having.
That's a hell of a note,
well,
dude.
They can go to arena football or somewhere like that if they choose to. It's just the fact that they want to go. That's the best place to showcase their talent. Is the NCAA. That's why I think they go there. Not necessarily they don't have a choice, but that's just where, you know, that's where they, that's what they're told to do.
I was going to say, the
problem with just going straight to an arena is they don't get the exposure they are. I know some talented people that went to the arena, and they're not getting called for NFL. They want to go with the college. But, I mean, the most popular sport in the world is soccer. And, you know, they don't pull from soccer. They pull from farm teams. They have, you know, especially the Premier League in England. You know, you get the Premier League, then you got three or four or five divisions below them that they pull players through. And they even have youth programs. I know they just started here in the U.S. They have youth academies with all these MLS teams now to develop players. Now, if the NFL would take a step and say, okay, we're going to do this and start developing players, like TJ said, you know, that would actually be better than with the college.
Hey, there you go. I think by the end of the show, we've come to a consensus. I'd love to keep this going, gentlemen, but I have a minute and a half left in the show, and Father Time is whooping our ass right now. So, unfortunately, I got to work on closing you guys out. Hey, what can I say? Maybe we need a part two to this at the end of the day. Who knows? Big TJ, tell the people where they can find you, my friend.
Hey, man, I'm not anywhere anymore, bro. I've taken a hiatus from my show. And I deleted my Twitter, so if you want to find me, find Kyle. And Kyle knows how to get in contact with me. But if you follow me on Facebook, you can catch my jewels of knowledge there. And I'll be in South Florida in 3 weeks. Holler at your boy.
You better know it. Hey, and
you will? You'll be down here? You coming down here in 3 weeks?
In 3 weeks, I'll be in Boca Raton, baby.
There you go.
Okay, we'll have to hook up there. Yeah, I'm about to get in touch with you then.
Absolutely.
Twan Staley. Tell the people where they can find the National Gridiron Network's AFC East Rider.
Well, you can find me at a number of different places. First off, on Twitter, Black Red Sox fan, because I'm a Black Red Sox fan. And secondly, yeah, National Gridiron Network. You can also find me at Pro Player Insiders, Yaki Ray Report, baseball, like I said, baseball writer. I do all different types. I write about all different types of sports. So, and also my main website, which is blackredsoxfan.com. And this week we got some NCAA basketball coming up, and also talking about a little bit about Miami Dolphins as well, and of course baseball as well. So you can check out my work there.
Fair enough. And of course, you can find us at the SOTG on Twitter. Until next time, thank you to Big TJ. Thank you to Twan Staley. Chris, thank you for coming in and weighing in. Weasel Weez as always.
Yeah, boy.
All right. Until next time, class dismissed.